1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1 says, "But the Spirit clearly saith that in the latter times some will abandon the faith and follow deceitful spirits and things taught by demons." Could Seventh-day Adventists be deceived? Yes. In the little book, the Gospel of John chapter 8 and verse 44, we find that Satan is the father of what? Lies. Second Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14, we also find that Satan has transformed himself into what? An angel of light, so that he might deceive, if possible, the very elect. That's you and me by God's grace this morning. We like to believe that. We're going to take a look this morning at how Satan deceived the first parents. There's a key word, and I want you to see it this morning, because that same tactic, that same method that he used back in the Garden of Eden, I submit for your consideration this morning, he is still using. Folks, once something works, why throw it away? And Satan discovered something that worked with Adam and Eve in their perfect Edenic condition. And if it worked for them, surely Satan would use the same tactic on us, wouldn't you think? Let's take a look at it this morning. Before we do that, I want to just share one of the little statement. This one from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It talks about a group of people that are going to be deceived in the last day. And it says that Satan is going to come with all power and signs and lying wonders. Verse 8 of second chapter of 2 Thessalonians. And then verse 10 says, "With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the what? Love of the truth." It doesn't say that they receive not the truth. You see, we as Adventists have the truth, and we use that phrase so often. We have the truth. When did you come into the truth? When did you find the truth? Where did you find the truth? How long have you been in the truth? Folks, we're leaving out a key element: the love of the truth. The love of the truth. There's a balance here. We have the truth, but we may not have the love of the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We may know all about Jesus, and we may have a concept of what constitutes truth, but we may not have a love for Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I'm suggesting that 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10 may be a key that we as Adventists need to be very, very much in tune with even this morning. We may have the truth, but the question is, do we have the love of the truth? Because those who fail to have the love of the truth will be damned and destroyed. Having the truth is not enough. We must have a love for that truth. Now watch. It doesn't matter whether we have the truth without love or whether we have love without the truth. Did you catch that? You will before we're done, I pray, this morning. So please follow. Satan would either get us all loving with no truth, no solid foundation, no biblical teachings, or he will get us with all the biblical teachings and no love. He doesn't care which side he gets us in. As one once said, he doesn't care what extreme position we're in, as long as it's his extreme. One side or the other. All right? This morning, let's try and find a balance, if we can. Let's take a look, going back again at what I stated just a moment ago, that Satan used a tactic, a tool, if you please, a methodology. He used something to deceive our first parents. Satan exercised his power of, what does it say? Hypnotism over Adam and Eve. And this power he strove to exercise over whom? Christ himself. Now, folks, listen. If Satan realized the power of this particular tool right here, hypnotism, and he was so confident in its power that he even used it on Jesus Christ himself, wouldn't you suspect that he might also use that same tool on God's remnant people, if possible? Yes? Does that make sense? But notice, I want to draw your attention to what it says in the red. He tried to exercise hypnotism over Christ, but after the word of Scripture was quoted, Satan knew that he had no chance of triumphing. Amen. Folks, do we know the Word of God today? None but those who have fortified the mind with the truths of God's Word will stand in the last great conflict. Do we know the Word? Ah, now watch that. Jesus said that He was also the Word. We find that in the Gospel of John, right? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Do you know the Word this morning? Or do you just know truth? Well, if you know truth, that could be Jesus too. Folks, I want you to notice something this morning. We may know the Scriptures, but not know the God of the Scriptures. We may know truth, but not know the truth in Jesus. You see what I'm saying? Let's take a look at another thing here this morning. What Jesus says through His servant, the prophet, in Volume 8 of the Testimonies, 293, concerning the future. What will happen in the future? Remember what happened in Eden? What happened when Jesus was here? Now let's move to the future. Satan will try to deceive, if possible, the very elect. Most seducing influences will be exerted. Minds will be what? Hypnotized. Folks, that word is not just by coincidence found there on that page. I believe that God revealed Satan's tactic in the last day. I believe that God unmasked the enemy, and that's why she states in the little book, Great Controversy, there is nothing that Satan fears so much as that we should become acquainted with his ways. And folks, this is one of his ways that we're taking a look at this morning. We all know that the serpent was the medium through which Satan worked. We could say that the serpent was a channel through which Satan worked for the fall of man. May I suggest this morning that he's still working through channels. Even though the terms today don't seem to ring in our minds, I pray that this morning before we're through, we'll see that the relevancy, the accuracy of the spirit of prophecy fits today 100%. Last evening you heard Brother Lyle as he presented to us the importance of God's leading His remnant church through the gift of prophecy. Folks, today we can see with our very eyes that what the prophet declared has come true. And I thank God for that. Let me show you the very term for spirit possession. A term that's being used today for spirit possession. And I want to endeavor to show you by God's Spirit this morning, because there are many spirits in this world, but by God's Spirit this morning, I pray that He will show you how this key term, which is used for spirit possession, is being used today extensively throughout the world and specifically in our age, in a new movement or a movement that's been around a long time, but we are referring to it today as the New Age movement that is seeking to unite the world. Let's take a look at the term now for spirit possession. When a willing human being yields his mind and body to an invading spirit who then possesses and controls him, usually as a mouthpiece to give the Spirit's own teachings, we call this what? Channeling. The medium serves as a channel for the Spirit to work through. It was back in the early 70s. I was at the University of Oregon. I was pastoring one of the churches there in that district. And the Jesus movement was underway. I was given a little card to follow up a particular interest, I remember, and I went into a little communal home one afternoon. It was late. It was a Wednesday night. I was on my way to prayer meeting. I would make one more call before I went to prayer meeting that night. I stopped at this particular little rundown place, and it was a communal home where a number of people were living. As the door opened and I saw a strange little girl, cute little girl with a little beanie cap and those wire-rimmed glasses and long flowing blonde hair, and she was dressed very, very modestly, long dress, she reminded me almost of some of my friends in the Reform movement of today that I see. here she stood, petite little girl, and I introduced myself as having a gift Bible and 24 lesson guides, and I was looking for a young girl by the name of Geneva. That was her. She invited me in the little house. As I walked through, I saw the beads hanging down over a doorway, and behind the beads I noticed a couple of pads. In those days, that's what they referred to them as, gunny sacks laid against the wall, a little mattress on the floor, and that's where some people had been sleeping in the house. And I realized immediately when I smelled the odor of pot in the room, and I realized that this was not a Christian commune. It was a drug center. I noticed the tarot cards. I noticed that they were involved in mysticism of the East. This was back in the 1970s, early 1970s. I desired not to remain very long in the house. I thought I would drop off the Bible, be on my way, and little Geneva said, "Please, have a seat." She said, "I'm so glad that you've come. I've wanted a Bible of my very own for a long time." And I said, "Well, I can't stay. I'm really on my way. Here's your Bible. Here are your lesson guides." Supposed to just give the first one. I was very happy to give her all because I just didn't feel comfortable in that house. I noticed a couple of big burly men walked down and walked through with their beards, the long flowing hair. And I just didn't feel too comfortable there standing there in my suit. I felt like I didn't belong. And so I tried to make my way out, but Geneva insisted that I remain, and so I endeavored to make it as fast as possible. And for some reason, I felt an oppression come over my body I had never felt to that point. There was a little light bulb hanging down from the ceiling on a wire. And that light bulb, for some reason, it was either the light bulb or my eyes, but the whole room seemed to be on a rheostat that suddenly turned down. And the whole room seemed to become dark as the evening was upon us. It was dark and I could just barely see the filament in there, and it looked like the thing was just being smothered. I felt that same thing within my own body, as though my own body was on a rheostat and my whole system was slowing down. It was the strangest feeling I'd ever felt. I felt as though I needed air. I couldn't hardly breathe as an oppression came over me. And I looked at Geneva, who was looking at me through those beady little wire-rimmed glasses, sitting in this big overstuffed chair, and her little eyes were piercing right into me. And I wondered, what in the world is happening? Am I in the presence of a demonic force? Why am I sitting here looking at that little girl, and what is she looking at me? And I was wondering, is she trying to captivate my mind? What does a man do at that point? Pray. Just as he had been taught as a little boy, I began to pray. And I looked at the girl and I said, "Geneva, I want to pray." And I closed my eyes. I took my eyes off of her little beady eyes. And I closed my eyes and I prayed an earnest prayer. It wasn't a prayer of memorization, folks. It was a prayer from my heart. "God, take away whatever's in this room by your power and through your word. We are here today to present Jesus to Geneva. And I don't know what this oppression is, Father, but lift it. Take it away." And I opened my eyes. The light bulb was bright. The oppression was gone. I could breathe. I took a deep breath and I let it out and I looked at Geneva, who now was still staring right at me with her little beady eyes, but there was a calmness that now had come over her, and she smiled. And she made this comment, which I will never forget. "It's gone, isn't it?" Praise God for the power of prayer. Folks, I was in the atmosphere in the presence of satanic forces that I could feel, that I knew they were there. Satan is working today to destroy, if possible, the very elect, and he will use hypnotism and different means of doing it. I discovered that Geneva had been out of her body for 3 days. She was lying on that little cot in the other room. Just before I had come, just a few days before, she had gotten up after 3 days being out of the body. Her mind had taken a trip. Out of the body experience. Anybody ever heard of such a thing? You have now, but 10 years ago you probably didn't know of such things. Today we're hearing a lot about it. I was introduced to it back in 1971 and 72. And I thought, this can't be. But today we see it all around us. Satan is working through various means. He was working through the music back then. He works through music today to hypnotize individuals. Let's read it, what Ellen says to us. From Messages to Young People, page 295, we find that Satan has no objection to music. If he can make that a what? A channel to gain access to the minds of the youth. Now, Satan works to hold the largest numbers in a pleasing infatuation while they are what? Paralyzed by his power. When I sat there that particular day with Geneva, I was sensing a paralyzing effect upon my whole body, as though I could no longer move. It was as though I was powerless, and if I did not seek God, I would soon be incapable of doing so. Paralyzed to the point we can no longer resist Satan. Could music do that? Could music do that to an individual? Notice Ellen called it years ago. She called it a channel. Music becomes a medium through which Satan works. It's a form of channeling. Music, a medium through which Satan can work. Now, I love music. You love music. God loves music. In fact, He loved music so much that He even made a special musician and gave him tremendous skills for writing some of the greatest anthems that the world out there have ever heard. His name was Lucifer. And Lucifer was skilled in music. It was his melodious voice, Ellen says, in the story of redemption, it was his melodious voice that captivated the senses of Eve. It was perhaps the first love song ever sung to titillate the senses of a woman. Could have been a man too. But it happened to be Eve. And I suggest, based upon that melodious voice, that Satan perhaps was singing through this beautiful creature, his medium. And thus the music captivated her senses. She was held spellbound, as it were, for she had never heard such beautiful music. Where did the music come from? From the choir director who had been sent to this earth because of apostasy and rebellion. And he was writing a different type of music now. It had a hook in it. It paralyzed its victim. Just like the serpent oftentimes paralyzes its victim, immobilizes it so that he can destroy it. And so Satan is not opposed to music. He uses it as a channel to destroy, to hypnotize, to paralyze, to captivate the senses so that we cannot resist. But folks, I want to say that we can resist through the Word of God. Amen? And we must resist through keeping our eyes on Jesus, not the beady eyes of the serpent. And even this morning as we reveal some of Satan's tactics, I want you to keep your eyes also on the greater power, Jesus Christ. Please do that. Let's take a look for a moment at some music. And see what the late Jimi Hendrix once said. Quote, "You can hypnotize people with music. And when they get at their weakest point, you can preach into their subconscious minds what you want to say." That came from Life magazine, October 3 in the year 1969, pages 4 and 5. Let's take a look at another young man, this one. All of us know from not too long ago, Red West, a longtime friend of a man who was called the King of Rock Music. Who am I speaking of? Elvis Presley. Red West said of Elvis that he had power to hypnotize and claimed that Elvis possessed special powers, and he proved it to him again and again. One of the members of the heavy metal group that I'm sure at least most of the youth here this morning have heard, Motley Crue, stated in the Faces magazine of September 1984, quote, "The youth of today can be brainwashed and programmed." And he boasts about it. He knows what He can do, and they captivate the senses of the kids that they control so that they can program them for destruction. This young man, I'm sure we recognize today, he's on many television commercials and so on. It's the drink of the new age. Michael Jackson attributes his ability of creating music to the force within. Did you hear that? He attributes his ability of creating music to the force within. He says that his songs are given to him through revelations or dreams after being assembled in another realm. Why is it that he knows where it comes from and we don't? In his latest album, when he says he's bad, we say he's good. Has the people today come to a point that we call light darkness and darkness light, where we call good bad and bad good? Are we that confused? Even the world calls it dirty dancing, and we say it's clean. There's nothing wrong with that. The world knows, but we've been deluded. Folks, I'm concerned today, because Satan perhaps has us under his spell and we don't know the difference between black and white anymore. Let's read on about what Brother Jackson says. He says, and I quote, "The whole thing to me," he says, "is strange." You hear the words, everything is right there in front of your face. And you say to yourself, "I'm sorry, I just didn't write this. It's there already. I feel that somewhere, someplace, it's all been done, and I'm the courier bringing it into the world." End quote. Who is using Michael as a medium to destroy the youth? Satan is. Now, folks, this morning I want to be very careful, because of some things that I've learned. Satan, again, doesn't care where he gets us. And we as Christians, I throw this out as a caution this morning, too many times become self-righteous as we look at mediums in the world. How thankful I'm not like Michael Jackson. Folks, if there was a young man that needs your prayers this morning, it's Michael Jackson. I solicit in behalf of my brother Michael Jackson that you pray for his soul. I'm not here lifting up a brother, a son, a child for whom Jesus died, lifting him up to mock him. We lift him up in prayer that Jesus might save his soul. And too many of us will speak aught against our brother and become a tool, a medium through which Satan can work, yea, even in our religious garb, to hurl burning denunciations against people such as Michael Jackson, Elvis Presley, and others. Folks, let us never forget that Jesus said, "Our battle is not against flesh and blood. It is against that power that works through our brothers and sisters in flesh and blood." Amen? Let us get that straight. I'm not here bringing any type of condemnation against the person. But the message, dear friend, is satanic. Satan is controlling one of our brothers, and we need to pray that God might set him free. Amen? I want you to see now what has happened as a result. In 1982, Michael Jackson produced an album called Thriller. This was released worldwide. It sold over 35 million copies within the first 3 years. By 1984, the singer was awarded an unprecedented 8 Grammy Awards, never before in the history of our culture. Thriller outsold every solo album in the recorded history of the entire music world. Are you aware of that? One album. Elvis Presley couldn't even touch it. The Beatles haven't even come close. That little record that was produced has topped every record sales in the entire world. And I want you to see something about that record. We're going to take a look at that record. We're going to take a look at one of the background sounds. Chanting in the background of Thriller. The words are the words written under inspiration. You can be inspired, but of whom? It's the voice of a man by the name of Vincent Price. Some individuals today consider him to be one of the greatest warlocks of America, the number one prince of the satanic force in America. I think that it's significant that Michael chose him, of all people, to chant these lyrics. Listen carefully. They are all around you. The demons, they will possess you unless you change the number on that dial. Seventh-day Adventist elementary school teacher in the state of California shared his concern to his sixth grade class one morning. This was some time back. He was one of the best teachers in the school. The children all loved him. He was a good teacher. His class would have done anything for him until the morning that he spoke against Thriller. And when he told those young people that Satan is in the background, and those who don't make an effort to change the dial, literally, are opening themselves up to be possessed by satanic forces, whatever that means. To become mediums, if you please, through which Satan can use. We have given him legal right to our soul and to our mind by allowing it to go in without resisting it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For you see, those that turn on the dial and listen to it and choose to remain listening to it without turning the dial, when Satan says, look, I'm giving you a choice this morning. I'm giving you a choice. Either turn the dial and prove you're against it, or let it ring and I will possess you. Our evangelist gives you a choice every night to accept the Lord Jesus Christ or to refuse. Satan works with the same game. He has the same rights. He gives you an opportunity. You must make the decision. And in that song, he has legal rights to possess those who refuse to shut it off. And so the teacher shared with his students. And he said, young people, I plead with you. If you have the album, destroy it. We don't need to go on a record craze. I'm not asking that. But he was concerned about that particular album. Bedlam immediately hit the classroom. The young children were glazed eyes at him. How can you say that? There's nothing wrong with that. They attacked their teacher for the first time since he had been their teacher. He couldn't imagine the outrage. Before the day was out, parents had called him. What are you trying to do with our children? Why don't you stick to teaching instead of preaching in the classroom? Three young sixth grade students, that very day, endeavored to fulfill the request of their teacher who cared for their soul. All three of them the next day came back and shared an experience which was absolutely incredible. Folks, there was power in that song. There was power in that album. So much so it became the number one greatest seller of the world. One girl related her experience. She said when she got home, she turned on the radio, which was often done, more often than not. And Thriller came on. It wasn't long, and Thriller came on, and she was listening to the very words that the teacher had told her, don't listen to. And she felt conviction from God. I must turn the dial. And she reached over and made the effort to turn the dial. And she turned the dial. And the music kept playing. Same song. She turned the dial and watched it go clear across the band, and the same song was still there and never changed. She became panicked and she shut the radio off, but the music kept playing. She reached and grabbed the plug and unplugged it from the wall, and only then did it stop. Folks, let it be a lesson to us. We must persist. We must stand for God and His Word and stand firmly for the right. Thank God for sixth graders that are willing to turn the dial, to shut it off, to unplug it, do whatever you need to do, but get out of touch with Satan and into touch with God. Red West's longtime friend and bodyguard of Elvis said, he genuinely believed that he was a prophet, and we were his disciples. We've been warned as a people through 1 John 4:1, believe not every spirit, because many false what? Prophets are gone out into the world. The so-called king of rock and roll had a substantial library, I understand, of occult books, which included the Rosicrucian Cosmo Conception and The Voice of Silence, both by Madame Blavatsky, the founder of the Theosophical Society, which was founded in 1875. Albert Goldman, in his book entitled Elvis, said the Voice of Silence so impressed Elvis that he was to name his gospel group Voice as a result. Now, we as Seventh-day Adventists probably don't listen to much of that type of music that comes from gospel singers that sing gospel one day and rock the next. Folks, a good tree cannot bring forth good fruit or bad fruit, and a bad tree can't bring forth good fruit. You can call it gospel rock, but if we're singing songs about Jesus one day and about Satan the next, we're not of God. We may be a potential child of God, but God is not using us. Joseph Shamil stated that Michael Jackson also believes that he is a prophet, sent as a messenger to the children of the world. Thank God for a sixth grade child that refuses to be one of his children. He claims, quote, I worry, this is Michael Jackson being quoted, I worry about the children, all my children, all over the world. I live for them. I was sent forth for the world, for the children. But have mercy, for I've been bleeding a long time now. End quote. Is he God? Folks, those are not the words of Michael. I'm sure another spirit is speaking through him at that time. Look at it from an outside world. That's Satan. Satan is using a medium and he says, I have come to claim the children of the world. Don't look at that as the words of Michael. Look at it as the words of a satanic force using Michael as his medium to the children of the world. I have bled for you. I am coming to claim you as my own. Is it any wonder that he has also received numerous individuals who have hailed Michael Jackson as the Messiah returned, and truly he is the Archangel Michael himself. Who would make such a boast? Satan. Those are not the words, dear friend, of Michael Jackson. Even though they may have come forth from his mouth, we are seeing satanic forces speaking through human beings today, as verily as Satan spoke through the serpent 6,000 years ago. Do we discern what we're hearing? Are we aware of it? George Harrison, one of the singers, you remember, of the Beatles, joined an Eastern cult, the Hare Krishna movement. He made an album which also sold quite well. It was entitled My Sweet Lord. And many Christians picked it up and began to turn the disc and said, isn't that a beautiful song? I love the Beatles. Now I can play their song because they're playing religious music, My Sweet Lord. But if you listen to the chant in the background, they're saying, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Who was the sweet Lord? Hare Krishna. It's the background. It's that chanting. It's the satanic force within that we don't see. We as Seventh-day Adventists wouldn't be caught up in any deception at all, probably. Or would we? Exercise to jazz. It's called jazzercise. We have high impact, low impact, and non-impact. We have hundreds of Seventh-day Adventists today that are joining aerobics classes. I'm walking on toes this morning, folks, but only as a warning. Only as a warning. I love you. I try. I know God does. Aerobics today to music. Jane Fonda has set the pace, which hundreds and thousands of others have followed. And if you'll listen to most of the music that's coming to the high impact, the low impact, and non-impact aerobic exercises, the background music, folks, is satanic. But we aren't in tune with the music. We're just there to get rid of a little extra weight and to keep our bodies in shape while Satan pulsates his theories and his philosophy and his control into our minds. Michael Jackson is on a number of her albums. Why? We wouldn't be deceived, would we, as Seventh-day Adventists? Today the world is corrupt and we need love. And so Satan uses love, too, as a medium. Dr. Leo Biscaglia. Some of us sitting here this morning have read some of his works. I have two videos of his. It's hard for me not to cry when I watch it. If you ask him about his personal love and relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll discover he has none because he doesn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He believes in a power from within that he has. And yet his book entitled Love has sold millions. His television programs that have been special have sought to seek and reach millions of people. He has a good philosophy. He has a lot of tremendous, powerful things, some of which we are all tempted to use. But love without the truth becomes a deception. I'm reading from the book Great Controversy concerning the book Love. Something the world longs for so much, but don't be deceived. I'm reading under a chapter entitled Spiritualism. I'm reading from page 558. Love. Love is dwelt upon as the chief attribute of God. But it is degraded to a weak sentimentalism, making little distinction between good and evil. God's justice, His denunciation of sin, the requirements of His holy law, they're all kept out of sight. The people are taught to regard the Decalogue as a dead letter. Pleasing, bewitching fables captivate the mind and lead men to reject the Bible as the foundation of their faith. Christ is as barely denied as before, but Satan has so blinded the eyes of the people that the deception is not discerned. When Protestantism shall stretch her hand across the great gulf to grasp the hand of the Roman power, when she shall reach over the abyss to clasp hands with spiritualism, when under the influence of this threefold union, our country shall repudiate every principle of its constitution as a Protestant and Republican government, and shall make provision for the propagation of papal falsehoods and delusions, then we may know, not guess, we may know that the time has come for the marvelous working of Satan and that the end is near. We'll take a look at a couple of little points here in closing this morning that I think are extremely important because they relate specifically to us as Seventh-day Adventists. In Volume 1 of the Testimonies, 290, Ellen says, the sciences of phrenology, psychology, and mesmerism are the what? They are the channel through which Satan comes more directly to this generation, she was referring to hers, and works with that power which is to characterize, that's our generation, which is to characterize his efforts near the close of probation. Satan will work through the sciences of the mind. Left brain, right brain. Scientific. Sounds good. Comes out of Hinduism. We put a new title on it, and we bring it to America, and they're selling by the millions today. New Age. Hinduism. Buddhism. Cultism. But it looks so good. Pastor Santee, if what you're saying is true, then some of us are reading things we should not read. That's true. Some of us are listening to things we shouldn't listen to. Holistic medicine sounds so good. Holistic sounds like it's dealing with the whole person. It is, except for the relationship between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. You become God. Physician, heal yourself. It's all within yourself. Mind consciousness. You take power. You take control. Everything is within you. It isn't, dear friend. The thing that's within you is a dying old man that needs to have the power of the living God to be born again. Amen. Holistic medicine. Beware. It's not as whole as it may sound. Touch therapy. Beware. It comes from the Middle East. Iridology. Beware. Acupuncture. Beware. Reflexology. Beware. Drug medication. Beware. Ellen said drugs never cure. It's a form of sorcery. I'm not saying to throw everything out, folks. I'm just saying that we better check more than the label. Beware, folks. Revelation 18 warned us about it. Phrenology simply means the study of the mind, the skull. It's a mixture of both science and mythology, and that's exactly what's on the bookshelves today being bought even by some Seventh-day Adventists. Mesmerism. Webster simply says it's hypnotism. Ellen says in Volume 1 of the Testimonies, 429, that it's a part of spiritualism. In Early Writings, page 21, she says that mesmerism is from the devil. Early Writings, page 44, she says mesmerism is mistaken for the power of the Holy Spirit. There are people today, folks, I would suggest, that are hearing the voice of God speak to them, and they're saying that it's the Holy Spirit. They're under a delusion, most of them. Let's not be deluded. Mark the influence of these sciences, dear reader. For the conflict between Christ and Satan is not yet ended. Through these sciences, notice it's a science, and we have put so much belief and stock in science that science couldn't deceive us. Egypt was full of science. Through these sciences, virtue is destroyed and the foundations of spiritualism are laid. His last great deceptive power to destroy, if possible, the very elect, are being laid through modern sciences with Eastern philosophy. And we don't discern it. Let's hurry along. He, Satan, declares through the spirits that true knowledge places man above all law. This, dear friend, is God's servant speaking. Ellen White warning us over 100 years ago in Great Controversy 555. She says, Satan declares through the spirits. He's speaking through the spirits. And he says that true knowledge places man above all law. That whatever is right. Notice it, I put it in red, because you're going to see it from the New Age, quote in quote, exactly what Ellen said over 100 years ago. Exactly same words. Ellen was warning us. The prophet's words have come true in our day. Satan is speaking through the spirits that whatever is right, and that all sins which are committed are innocent. Now let's read it. Directly from the gurus, Roshnish, John Weldon, who writes concerning what is taking place in the New Age movement. He says, since God is impersonal, he therefore cannot be concerned over right or wrong. Thus, whatever is right. The very words that Ellen wrote to warn us of what was coming, and we haven't discerned it. Once a person accepts his own what? Godhood. Then whatever he does is good, even if it's evil. What's bad is good. What's good is bad. It doesn't matter. He can title his album bad, and today we call it good. Right before our eyes, and we don't discern it. Good and evil are one and the same. My ashram, or spiritual community, makes no difference between the demonic and the divine. Now let's come to one last heavy point that I was told in college by a little professor I'll never forget. He said before Jesus comes that Satan will speak through human beings, or he will resurrect, as it were, the old apostles from years back, and he will use them as channels through which he will speak to the world. I never forgot that old professor. Long since passed to his rest in Jesus. Great Controversy 557. The apostles, as personated by these lying spirits, are made to contradict what they wrote at the dictation of the Holy Spirit when on earth. Here is a, what does she say? A channel wholly under Satan's control. And by this means, he can make the world believe what he will. Anybody ever heard of crystals and channeling? You have now. Here are some of the spirits that are speaking today, folks, through human beings that have been on national television, all across this world, in magazines and in journals. Some of the more prominent spirits that today are speaking with nationwide influence are Mafu, Saint Germain, Ramnath or Ramtha, Seth, Lazarus, Jonah, Gabriel, and even Astarte, which was a pagan fertility god, and many of you know that she was the goddess of Jericho when God's children marched around and God destroyed the city. Goddess of the moon. These are supposedly the spirits of other worlds that have come and spoken through human beings, and they call themselves by these names you see on the screen. Anybody ever heard of, I think its name is Kegney or Lacey, police program, lady who won an Oscar for her role not long ago? You know who she is grateful to for setting her up and helping her to win the Oscar? Spirit guide called Lazarus. And she told millions of people as she held her little Oscar up that she owes this to Lazarus. But we watch your program. Folks, one of these days, the disciples are going to start being heard. The Apostle Paul, one of these days, is going to be heard through a medium. Primetime television. What are you going to do? Watch it? Jesus said that when they say that there he is, go not forth. But some of us will be so hypnotized by what we see that we will not be able to turn the dial. And we ourselves will become fascinated and charmed and destroyed as a result. I'd like to close with a couple little observations. Satan today is seeking to destroy the children of the world. There was a time that we go back into ancient Egypt and we discover that in Egypt, God's children were in bondage. And God raised up a man to deliver his people. His name was Moses. And there was a great slaughter that went throughout all of Egypt. And the river Nile ran red with blood. The blood of children. And God's wrath was kindled. And he raised up a prophet when the children were slaughtered. God sent his own son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to save the children. And Herod rose up and destroyed the children. And once again, the blood flowed freely in the streets because a prophet had been raised to save the children. And I believe that what was in Egypt and what happened 2,000 years ago, dear friend, I suggest is happening today. For today, at no other time in history, have we slaughtered more innocent children through abortion and other causes. All in the name of concern for another life. Is one life more important than another to God? We're all important to God. I believe in this day and this hour of slaughter across this nation of America that God is about to call a halt at what is taking place, and He is about to raise up another prophet. The last prophet, the deliverer of God's children, will be Elijah. It is an Elijah message that will call the hearts of the fathers back to their children and the children back to their fathers, so that there might be harmony and unity, so that there might be a power among God's people again, so that the world might know that there is a God yet in Israel. And then shall the light break forth as the morning. When God says, arise and shine, folks, that day is just before us. I ask this morning, where are your eyes? Are they on Jesus and what's about to come? Or are your eyes on this world and what's happening? Let us look to Jesus today and always. What do you say? Loving Father, we thank You for the privilege we have of being here this morning. Father, if I've stepped upon anyone's heart this morning needlessly, I ask Your forgiveness. Father, I pray that we might have the Spirit of Jesus to win and not destroy, to set free and not bring bondage. Father, I struggle at sometimes what I should say and what I shouldn't, but I've given You my tongue today. I've given You my heart today. And so I accept that what was said needed to be said this morning. Father, touch our hearts with the seriousness of the hour in which we live. And even though all of us in this room, to a lesser or greater degree this morning, have been challenged, I pray, Father, that the challenge will not turn us away from Jesus, but rather turn us toward Him. Father, I thank You for hearing this prayer and the prayers of every mother and father seated here, because some of their kids are struggling with what I've talked about today. Father, I lift our kids up today as never before. Lord God of Israel, save Your children and make us the Elijahs, that we might help and assist through Your Spirit to save Your heritage, so that when Jesus comes, He will have a people who in faith and holy hope have been tracing down the roll of fast-fulfilling prophecy, preparing themselves to stand in that great day, and having done all, to have stood. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. American Christian Ministries is not a one-man band. It is an orchestra of outstanding speakers who are all on the same theological page. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.